Two out of bounds. William Quaggenbush, Kelly Gramlich. We got a lot more to talk about as we put a bow on The Last Dance and do something that we may never, ever do again. In a two-month period without sports, we spent an awful lot of time talking about things that happened more than 20 years ago. We may never, ever have conversations like this again. You can get in with it right now. 654-ROAR is the number. At least to this degree.
That's a good point. It's a very good point. And it's been a lot of fun to talk about. I think our listeners have enjoyed it too because, yes, it happened so long ago. And yes, a lot of people lived it. They did. And you and I did not live it as much. I basically didn't live it at all. But I knew a lot of the background. The behind-the-scenes stuff was just, it was great. I enjoyed it so much.
To the flu game /
food
poisoning
game. Back to the
game.
Pizza question.
Okay. I think food poisoning or some sort of a random bug, like a 24-hour bug that anybody could have had.
Stomach bug.
I think
basically.
That probably makes a lot of sense. Although, if it was a 24-hour stomach bug, none of his teammates really got it. Although we really don't know. Well, yeah, we do. We do know after that because they played more games. Nobody missed the next game with flu-like symptoms. That's something that would have spread. So I do think food poisoning makes the most sense. Followed by...
I agree.
The 24-hour bug followed by hangover. Hangover's way down the bottom. I do have questions about the purposeful nature of this because what do we know about Michael Jordan now? We knew it before, but what do we know now? He will literally take anything, even the slightest little thing, and make it into an intentional act of sabotage on his character, on his ability to play the game. He will become the world's greatest victim to whoever that inferior person is. We found that out again with Brian Russell, who to this day, Kelly Gramlich,
to this day,
the most mispronounced first name in all of basketball because his mom spelled his name so wrong. His name is Bryon, and for my entire life,
I thought it was Byron.
Every single time I say it differently because I don't know if it's Brian or Byron, and even in the documentary last night, there was a fair amount of Brian,
yes,
Byron confusion, very similar to Step Brothers, the Pam dilemma that wreaks havoc in a job interview in Step Brothers. It is the Brian Byron dilemma. If his mom would have just spelled his name with an I, we wouldn't have this problem. But it's Byron with dyslexia is what it is. It's Byron with dyslexia. And so for all of my childhood, I never knew if it was Byron or Brian. And whenever I got a definitive answer, I would hear somebody say it the other way. So it would be Byron, Brian, Byron, Brian. And it didn't really help last night, although it is spelled B-R-Y-O-N. So if it is Byron, then it's just misspelled on his birth certificate.
It sounds like it's Brian.
Brian Russell, right.
Maybe that's his name,
that's
Brian.
Brian Russell. His little slight. When he's like telling Jordan, you know, I'd whoop you or whatever he said to Jordan. And Jordan's like, okay.
Allegedly said, because we know Jordan makes stuff up too.
Right, of
just
course.
Just to motivate himself.
Which, there, you know, all this time we're looking back at all these like the B.J. Armstrong. We may talk about this last week, but the B.J. Armstrong yelling at the bench.
Yeah.
And people were like, oh no, I can't believe he did that to Jordan. Jordan would have told himself that he did that and used it for fuel in game three if he never said a word. Jordan didn't need you to actually affront him. So he was going to make it up. He was going to create an affront that you gave to him regardless of that. So I'm not buying the, you know, Brian Russell's goose was cooked in 1994 or 1993, whatever year it was, for 1997 and 98. I'm not buying that. But I do think, back to the point, I do think the story about food poisoning makes some sense if you just look at the facts. So there are some things that you're gonna have to just accept as gospel without a lot of
accreditation. How suspicious are we of the city of Salt Lake? And okay, first of all, I saw a few tweets about this too. How did they figure out it was Michael Jordan? I get that maybe they knew that was the Bulls hotel or whatnot, but all of his security guys, who he was very close with, as we've learned throughout the documentary, don't you just say, oh, you know, maybe you give him a fake name, you give him a name of an equipment manager or something? You got to make sure they don't know it's Michael Jordan.
Yeah, let's go through these logical questions one at a time and just try to parse out, why did we get to this point? The main question is, why is Michael Jordan from the Bulls Hotel ordering a pizza? That's number one, okay? Why in the world is that a thing? He's got five dudes in there with him. Get one of them to order the pizza.
Right.
If you just know, if it's not Michael Jordan, which Michael Jordan's been Michael Jordan for over a decade, I'm sure he ain't calling around in every city he goes to.
He's got an
alias.
When
he goes to Milwaukee, he says, this is Michael Jordan, or this is Pikel Porden, and I'm going to, you know, I need a pizza at such and such room. So that's number one.
He probably said, this is Scott Burrell.
Yeah, I mean, so let's assume that Michael Jordan's not using his actual name, because there's no reason that you would do that. There's no reason you would do that in the world.
Correct.
Michael Jordan, who makes up lies about people to make them enemies in his own mind, is not going to risk his well-being and risk telling people his location by saying his name to the pizza guy on the other end of the phone. That is ridiculous, okay? Number one, he did not use his name. If we believe that the pizza was on purpose, food poisoned with Visine or whatever it is that
Ooh.
Food poisons people.
Ooh, that,
if
oh,
we
that
believe
sounds
that,
awful.
Then we would have to believe that somehow they found out what room Michael Jordan was in exactly and brought the pizza exactly to that room. Now, I know 1998 was a more lax time in terms of security in the nation.
Right.
If I order a pizza in a hotel today, I got to go down to the lobby and get it. They went all the way to the room. Nobody went down to get the pizza from the lobby. They were all the way to the door of the room, knocked on the door. They got through
everybody
with the pizza.
Because they said like five guys delivered it, right?
Five different people.
Five people, not five guys, burgers and fries. Five
Again,
people.
Could have been just five dudes that wanted to see if it was Michael Jordan or Scottie Pippen's room.
Send one of your entourage guys down to the lobby to get the pizza.
Send somebody down to the lobby. Do
this
not
was
have,
not handled
yeah.
well.
Do not have five dudes standing outside the door, okay?
No.
That's number two. There's no way that's real. Also, the way the story was told in the documentary made it seem like there were five dudes who were all making sure that the package got delivered.
Right.
And so they go back to the boss and they say, boss, we've delivered the package. And he goes, good, good. I'm glad you did that. Now we'll see what happens tomorrow night. And they like are
go
smoking
jazz.
Cigars in a smoke-filled room, like excited in the back of the pizza joint that they just poisoned Michael Jordan. I don't think that's actually what happened. I think what actually happened is that Michael Jordan ate a lot of food that might have been compromised to some degree. Like any food could be compromised to some degree. A little bit random, or maybe he just, his body had a reaction to whatever it was. I don't think this was a case of a pizza joint in Salt Lake City found out that and honestly, if Michael Jordan gave his actual name, he gets what's coming to him. Because you knew that Salt Lake City was bad. It was, oh my gosh. I just had it, Kelly. I literally told you.
Oh, God. You lost the quote again?
I lost it again.
Quack!
All right, Vernon Maxwell tweeted this last night. Vernon Maxwell said, I always made it a point to never eat whenever I played in Utah for that very reason, Michael. Vernon Maxwell.
Really?
NBA veteran, yes.
Because they were so afraid that someone would mess with it. Well,
yes.
they also talk about, they interviewed, I thought it was very random, they interviewed Michael Jordan's kids for 2 seconds in that last episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the two boys said, they asked him, were you at the games in Salt Lake? And they said, no, mom wouldn't let us go. That
yep.
crowd was too crazy.
Don't go. The people are
It
nuts.
Does not reflect well on Salt Lake City. I know that Pacer Karen got a lot of love last night, and she was the star
man.
Of the show.
We're going to get to Pacer Karen. She's been outed, by the way. We know who she is now.
It sure looks like Salt Lake City fans. This just paints Salt Lake City in a terrible light. Terrible. In many ways.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. It just doesn't make a lot of sense that they intentionally poisoned Jordan's pizza unless they knew that they were bringing the pizza exactly to Michael Jordan.
Which I don't know how they could have known that.
I don't know how they could have possibly known that unless there was, we're talking like significant espionage going on with the hotel. Did they call the hotel to get room numbers? I mean, we're talking an operation that honestly, if you've ever gotten pizza from a pizza boy or ordered pizza from a pizza play or girl or ordered pizza from a pizza place, they're not thinking that deeply about their orders going to certain places. I mean, they're just not. You're not doing that. It's not that type of operation. It had to be random. Now, before we go back to the phones here, another thing. You asked, is it possible he ate the whole thing? Here's the story, okay?
Tell me more about that, because I think it's, even if it wasn't, even if that pizza was perfectly fine, it seems like an interesting choice to eat an entire pizza at, what, 11 p.m., 11:30 p.m., midnight, whatever it was, right before a game. But maybe I don't understand.
Here's what happened, okay? And I'm going to tell you how it's possible. And
I'm sure it's possible. I just am not sure it was wise.
All right. Apparently, according to Jason Hare, apparently, Jordan's people, all the security folks and everybody in the room with him, had all gotten food, and Jordan was doing something else, and they didn't go with him for whatever reason. So he had not had dinner at this point. He had something else going on. They got dinner without
him.
Why
didn't he just call Uber Eats?
Didn't include him. Right, exactly, because that's 1998, and that was the thing then. So he was kind of mad. So he gets this pizza, and then in front of everybody, he says, nobody's touching this pizza, this is mine, and spits on it. So, like, nobody's going to... Because one thing Jason Hare said, all right, there's five other dudes in this room, and there's a pizza, and nobody else got any of that pizza. Like, how are you doing that? How are you just guarding that pizza? Nobody got a topping while you were looking the other way?
No one snagged a pepperoni.
He spit on it, so he was the only one that ate it. So I was kind of thinking that, too. You got a pizza in a room with six other dudes. You're the only one that got food poisoning from it. Come on, man. They would have had to poison the right pizza for that to be the case because everybody ate. Mm-hmm. The reality is not everybody ate. It was just him. It also doesn't tell you, Kelly, how big the pizza was.
Oh.
So it could have been, you know, we're all thinking this ginormous pizza and Michael Jordan just gorges down this enormous pizza. I think almost any night, particularly if I've had a strenuous day of practice and exercise, and particularly if I'm a professional athlete where I'm burning calories like crazy and I'm 6'6", 225, 230 pounds, whatever it is, and my body requires a lot of calories to function, and it's late at night and I'm past the dinner window.
True.
I mean, me, William Quaggum, is 6 feet, 195. I could probably put down a medium pizza without thinking about it.
Without, like, places. No problem.
Yeah, no problem.
Easy as pie.
I could put it at, yeah. Yeah, if I hadn't eaten since lunch or, like, post-practice snack or whatever, yeah. I could have put it down, no problem. I could do that right now. In fact, I did it for lunch
Humble
the
brag.
Other day. I had a late lunch. It was, like, 2 o'clock. I put down a medium pizza. No problem. Did it Saturday. No problem. That's just the way the world works. So I think we have this idea that Michael Jordan ate an amount of pizza that would only fill up an obese man. But we don't know. It could have been a personal pizza. It could have been a medium pizza. We don't know what kind of... We don't know that anything was on. It could have been just cheese. We don't have any idea the caliber of pizza that Michael Jordan allegedly ingested all by himself to the point that no one else ate the pizza. We also, spit on it, we don't know if he ate all of it then, if he was saving some, or if just nobody else ate it. He said he ate the whole thing. I'm going to take him at his word on that. But it could have been in stages. I'll just say that. And it could have been with consumption of alcoholic beverages. There could have been some sort of a reaction internally with Michael Jordan, perhaps.
Maybe the cigars didn't mix well with the pizza.
I'm just saying this could have been more accidental or coincidental than the mob bosses with the Mormon church, the LDS church in Salt Lake City, put a hit out on Michael Jordan before game 5 in 1997.
We got to go to the phones, but Ethan gets it on the text line. He says, yeah, I need a pizza. What's your name? My name is Black Jesus.
Yeah, right? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Like, you don't give the name. You don't give the name. It's crazy. Let's go to Malcolm, who's up with us next. 654-ROAR is the number. What's up, Malcolm?
Good afternoon, guys. How you doing?
Doing great, man. Hope you're doing well.
I'm good. You know, I love Jordan, right? Okay, but I think he was faking.
You think he was faking?
Yeah, I guess that's my personal conspiracy theory. You know, because he did things that make him to elevate himself. Now you go into a game. I don't know. I even forget what he scored. You get it. You do all this, and then you're sick, or you just raise your rep. I know. I mean, well, I'm probably wrong about it, but I always thought he was faking a little bit.
That's interesting. I never, to be honest, I never considered that he was faking. You'd have to be a really good actor, which guy was in Space Jam. You'd have to be a really good actor to put that together.
I know I'm probably wrong. That was just me thinking that. But,
Why would he fake it, Desmond? That's my question.
My name is Malcolm. Come on now.
Oh, shoot. I'm sorry. I just, listen, Malcolm, I'm so sorry. I just answered Desmond, and I just typed his name on there. My apologies.
That is, and I can confirm that. That is
my
true.
Apologies. Why would he fake it?
Just because he's Jordan. I mean, to add to his lure.
Oh, okay. Hmm.
I mean, interesting.
I'm wrong. Of course, I'm wrong. Come on. But it's just my thing. I like to add conspiracy to conspiracy.
You know what? I am all for that, Malcolm. We appreciate the phone call.
Sorry about the mix-up, Malcolm. We got you.
All right, thanks very much. Oh yeah, yeah. Kelly literally just hung
up
with Desmond.
I just answered the phone,
and then called Malcolm. That's okay. Classic mistake. I don't think he faked it. I do think it is a great try, but no matter what happened, which the hangover story is the most conspiratorial of all of them, because that suggests that Jordan had it basically robs the game of any significance if you did it to yourself, right? But even if it was just an accidental bug or an accidental whatever, to me, that's in the realm of normal life, like what normally would have happened.
Right. It's possible. And it shows Michael Jordan's human again.
Perhaps they, you know, perhaps people on the other side wanted to basically make it this huge triumph of the human spirit where he overcame even the efforts of the Jazz to kill him. They wanted him dead. And he got up off the mat and he was like, no, I'm not going to die today. I'm going to put you in the grave first. And he goes out and scores 38. In reality, it was adversity, like Pippen's back injury, where you've got to overcome. And he did. I mean, he played 44 minutes, had 38 points in that game. It was a remarkable triumph of will. It just might have been triumph over happenstance as opposed to triumph over just the most, nefarious deed ever conceived by the state of Utah.
I think it's very possible that Jordan's telling himself throughout that game, they poisoned me, just to motivate himself.
I'm
sure. A texter gets into Malcolm's point and says about Michael Jordan, that fool was sweating like he just climbed out of a dang swimming pool. I don't think he was faking it. He was sweating like crazy during that game, too.
He really was. He really was. Timberay gets in with, an interesting question. He says, if a guy was sick from food poisoning, we would say that. Why would you say he's out for something else? I don't know. That's a really good question. Because, again, all we heard was flu-like symptoms. I don't know. It's a good question. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll have Tom and Desmond. You can get in on the Northern Communication phone lines on this. We're talking conspiracy theories and the Jordan flu game / food poisoning game / oh no, what happened? He overcame because he's Superman game. Anyway, we'll talk about that more on the other side after this.
I'm Katie, a client at the Health Dare. Their coaching team helped reverse my diabetes in just a few weeks. I was so excited. I watched clients reverse the symptoms of high blood pressure, high cholesterol, sleep apnea, and lose crazy amounts of belly fat. They will clean out your pantry, grocery shop, and even cook, and teach you everything they know so you can't fail. If you want to change your life, call 877-IDARE-ME or go to idareme.com. Tell them Katie sent you and get a second program free. Go to idareme.com. I dare you.
Krute LED display signs and virtual scoreboards offer peak performance with programmable, full-color, vivid LED screens at an affordable price. With multiple sizes available and carrying a 5-year warranty, Krute LED displays allow you to create your own custom message that is certain to resonate with your audience. Your business, church, or school can afford a multifunctional LED display sign. Let Krute LED show you how. KRUT-LED.com or call 401-8156.
The Blue Heron Restaurant, located in historic downtown Pendleton, is open for business, offering dine-in service. Enjoy your favorite menu items or that bottle of wine you've been craving. Char-grilled filet mignon, sushi, crab cakes, chicken wings, amaretto cheesecake, and so much more. Are you hungry yet? If you're not quite ready to dine in, call in a curbside order for pickup. To place your to-go order, call 864-653-3354 or 864-653-3364. Visit the Blue Heron on Facebook and Instagram for specials and updates.
At AutoZone, we've always been here to help you get what you need to go where you need. That hasn't changed. In need of an oil change? Right now you can get 5 quarts of Castrol GTX High Mileage Motor Oil and an STP oil filter for just $27.99. And if you need something fast, you can get it fast, your way. Whether it's next day delivery or free same day pickup, in store or curbside, the choice is yours. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Restrictions and details on AutoZone.com.
From nurses to truck drivers, doctors to grocery clerks, the front lines in today's crisis are filled with brave actions every day. And you can do your part by completing the 2020 census. This simple effort online, by phone, or by mail will help impact the next 10 years of healthcare, schools, and roads. All of our first responders need your response. So go to 2020census.gov today. Shape your future. Start here at 2020census.gov. Paid for by U.S. Census Bureau.
Warm weather is ahead. That means look out for those summer thunderstorms we see in the upstate every year. Don't let bad weather and snapping tree branches leave you in the dark. Be prepared with a Generac automatic whole home standby power solution from Carolina Generators, your local Generac Pro Power Premier dealer, ready to serve you. Give Carolina Generators a call at 864-232-5684 or visit online at carolinagenerators.com to schedule your free in-home Power Pro assessment. Tell them Mickey from 105.5 sent you. If you're a mattress shopping, you must go visit Engineered Sleep on Congaree Road in Greenville. Each mattress is made in-house, and the showroom has the most popular models for you to try out. Engineered Sleep makes your mattress shopping easy. Every local mattress order is delivered to your house, and setup is free. Buy local and buy direct from the manufacturer. Visit EngineeredSleep.com for more information. That's EngineeredSleep.com. Sleep like a lamb, rise like a tiger.
All sports, all the time, from the Roar, 105.5 in Greenville and Anderson, 97.5 and AM 1560 in Spartanburg.
It started way back in third grade. I used to sit beside him and look.
Hour two continues. Out of Bounds, William Quackenbush, Kelly Gramlich, live inside the Priority One Security Studios, part of the number1security.com. Priority One Security, serious security, tip of the spear, top 25, nationally certified security provider, locally owned and operated, the best of technology, the best of both worlds for you, with a national level service and the local 24/7, 365 monitoring service, the Ring doorbell, the Total Control app, all those things at your fingertips. You need that now more than ever. Security is so important, particularly as we spend more and more time in our houses currently. Don't sacrifice your security. Go to the website, priority1security.com. Let's go to Tom, who's up with us next on the Northern Communication Phone Line. Tom, and then actual Desmond, who joins us after that. What's up, Tom?
Good afternoon. Hey, Kelly came and spoke to our touchdown club down in Greenwood last year. Did an awesome job. And she just won the hearts of our club, and we really, really enjoyed her.
Awesome.
It was
good
a
job,
great
Kelly.
Time, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Well, maybe we'll get Quack to come down this year.
Yeah.
For meeting. So there you go. Hey, a different story about Michael Jordan. Do y'all know what Michael's brother's name is?
One of them is Larry.
Well, this particular Michael Jordan's name is Tom, because I have a brother named Michael Jordan.
Wow.
Actually, Michael, my brother Michael, passed away a week ago.
And we're sorry to hear that.
Washington State. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to go out to the funeral out in Washington State because of just to be able to fly out and the amount of just free flight, it would be a disaster. But anyway, my brother Michael traveled around the world in construction and was in Russia, Albania, Canada, Mexico, Indonesia. And the story that I just want to share with y'all, that he was in Jakarta, Indonesia, in a high-rise Marriott hotel. And Michael Jordan was staying in the hotel. And the lobby was full of guests waiting to see this famous basketball player who grew up in Eastern North Carolina, and they didn't realize that it was a guy with a red beard and a very Caucasian guy who worked in construction. And so he drove he he went down and sat in the lobby and watched the people with their pens and their pictures that they their autograph books, waiting to meet and get Michael Jordan to sign their autograph. And he had a blast watching. He never told them, he's not here. I'm the guy. But it's just hilarious watching the people waiting. But just thought I'd share that quick story. And he, it was always interesting to get reservations somewhere when he would talk. And so,
that's awesome.
That is so funny.
Look, I'll be honest. I bet he had a trip. I bet he had a trip throwing people for a loop with that name. And I bet you guys got the red carpet pulled out for you on more than one occasion somewhere, right?
Well, I never did, but he did. He was always traveling where I was not. But yeah, that was it was kind of cool. So he has a son named Michael out there now. It's a freshman at Washington State, and the story goes on.
Okay, I was going to ask that. Because obviously he was named Michael Jordan before Michael Jordan became famous, but he still named his son Michael Jordan.
He did.
And does he go by Michael?
The son Michael goes by Michael.
That is excellent.
That's what I'm talking about. Tom, hey, we really appreciate it. We're very sorry for your loss, obviously. I know that's very, very tough, and we appreciate you sharing that story, though.
Well, thanks, guys. Enjoy listening to y'all. And no kidding, we would like to get you down this year. So Kelly can tell you all about it. We take good care of you, and it's a great crowd.
They do.
Outstanding. I'd love to. Yeah, just let me know. I'd love to work it out if we can, for sure. Thank you very much.
Y'all take care. Have a great day. Bye.
You too. Thank you. Boy, I tell you what, that's tough.
That is excellent.
That's a great story. Great story.
And he just named his son Michael Jordan.
I know. Just keep the legacy going. You know that you get perks in the world by accident.
You might as well. Yeah.
Let's go to Desmond, who's up with us next. 654-ROAR is the number. What's up, Desmond?
I'm good. You guys?
Oh, we're doing well.
That's so good to hear. I was watching the show the last 10 shows, whatever, and it was cool to see. I mean, it was great that they showed Michael Jordan being all about basketball, but I guess they never showed that he was Jordan had a lot of women in his life too, though, right? I mean, they never showed interaction. All basketball, it was always Nike, always basketball. They never showed. Then they showed a 2-minute clip of his children as they was older, but never showed him interacting with them. And then, like I said, then his big divorce, of course, was the largest settlement ever. I mean, I'm sure, but, I mean, that was already public knowledge. I mean, like, I just thought that they were trying to still paint that image of Jordan was just all basketball all the time, all nothing but, and then he went through a tragic with his dad. I mean, I couldn't imagine, but still, it was all basketball, all sports, no life outside of sport. That was my only negative about the story. But overall, no, I lived through all that. I mean, I graduated high school in 98. I mean, I remember that Utah game, you know, the flu game, or now the alleged food poisoning game. I mean, so those are just my thoughts, guys. Enjoy the show.
Thanks very much, Desmond. We appreciate it. That is something that I think people are, at least some people, are a little bit frustrated about. And the reality is, if you loved Michael Jordan beforehand, there's really nothing here to change your mind, okay? There's nothing. I mean, Jordan was all mad, you know, all concerned about his legacy and what people would think of him. I didn't see anything that was like, that painted him as like this horrible human any more than what we already knew about him really pushing his teammates and all this kind of stuff. I don't really think of him as like a bad, as that much worse of a guy than when he started. You know what I mean?
I almost think of him in almost a better light. Now, I get Desmond's point that they didn't get into the divorce and all that. And I thought it was random that they interviewed his kids for literally, I mean, Desmond said 2 minutes. I'm thinking 30 seconds total were both of those answers. And I can understand Michael Jordan saying, I don't want to talk about my divorce. I don't want you to interview my ex-wife. And I'm assuming the ex-wife didn't want to be interviewed. So that part was a little suspicious. And I think if you just don't interview the kids, that's fine. Then you're saying, we're not going to talk to anyone that wasn't necessarily related to basketball. But other than that, besides that red flag, which still exists, and we know that he got divorced and all that, I thought it painted Michael Jordan in a more human way. And to me, that was very interesting. When yes. he teared up talking about how he thought he would be perceived and all that, and when he talked about the reason he was hard on guys like Steve Kerr and that, because they weren't there in the 80s. They didn't understand the struggle to get the Bulls from the bottom of the league to become relevant and to be playing for championships. I felt like he was humanized for the most part in that documentary.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think he certainly was. If there is a criticism, it's that we delved into some negatives, like more overt negatives, not like differences of perception, but more overt negatives for the other guys. Not Kerr so much, but Kukoc maybe a little bit. Krause for sure, even though he got some ultimate credit from Pippen calling him the best GM because he put together the best team, all that stuff.
Yeah, that was interesting. After Pippen was like, I teased him mercilessly for, 20 years. But he was a great GM.
Great guy.
But he was great. He was great.
Exactly. Then you had, obviously, not so much Phil either. You had Pippen with his issues with the contract, with the mm-hmm. holdout, with the injury.
For that last second shot.
Rodman. You had Rodman just bailing multiple times on these great teams just because he needed a break or whatever.
I thought Rodman was one of the losers of the documentary because we all know about Rodman. And I think the less you really know, the more you think, oh, he was just a little bit of a crazy guy, but he played really hard. He rebounded the ball well, whatever. You don't know that he left during the finals and that was a big issue and what the heck was he doing? And I thought it was funny, too, that initially with Rodman, I saw this tweet last night, coaches are saying, everyone needs to have a Dennis Rodman on the team. And then you kind of see what he did with the Bulls in the last stretch, and he was really important, but he also was causing a lot of problems and all this. And now you probably take that sentence back. I think Dennis Rodman was someone who didn't come out of the documentary looking great.
If everybody needs a Dennis Rodman on their team, then why did no one want Dennis Rodman on their team? Because the Bulls, the Bulls cut him. He was signed for $1 million to play with the Lakers and then never played again. He only played one season after 97-98. As a guy who was still, it's not like he was providing great all-around value, but what he was doing, he was still doing at a high level mm-hmm. for Chicago on that 97-98 team. Nobody wanted him because they didn't want to put up with the headaches. And you could argue that a coach like Phil Jackson is solely qualified to deal with people with those types of quirks and personality traits.
Phil Jackson was perfect for that team.
I want to go to
Jerry Krause said, get out.
Oh, yeah, 100%. We've gone through the food poisoning, flu game, all that stuff. 44 minutes, 38 points, that sort of thing. The Brian Russell, Malone got on his list for winning the MVP in 97. Brian Russell was on his list because of that weird thing in 93. I did write this down. Joe Mantegna, who is in, he's in Criminal Minds. He did the little cut-in in this episode. He was talking about an interaction he had with Phil Jackson when he was in Chicago filming a movie and he and Phil Jackson went out or something. They could be brothers, I think. Joe Mantegna and Phil Jackson, look it up. That's real. I just wrote that down. Phil Jackson also was wearing earplugs in Utah,
Yes, I kept noticing that because it was so loud, I guess. And he couldn't, Kwok, you can't be zen if all that noise is messing with your brain. You know?
Of course.
You can't be zen.
Then we got to the Steve Kerr part where it's talking about Steve Kerr's dad, where he died at American University in Beirut, I think 1984, and then the big shots he hit in the Pacers series. I didn't know that about Steve Kerr's dad. I didn't realize that. No. And how his family was kind of separated and they had to deal with that remotely. That was interesting that he was kind of he was going through the process of Arizona at that time.
Well, and Steve Kerr's been a public figure for a while now.
Yeah.
And I'm sure some people know, I'm sure that's been reported somewhere or there's been an article written on it or whatever, but I don't think he talks about it a lot. He doesn't broadcast it. That was fascinating. I did not know that Michael Jordan and Steve Kerr had that tie where both their dads had been murdered. What are the odds of that, right?
And they never bonded over that, which is weird.
Yeah, they never talked about it.
They never talked about it?
The more that we see that behind-the-scene footage from 96, 97, 98, and you see after maybe the Pacers series where MJ's going around dapping everyone up, and he's dapping up Steve Kerr, and he's dapping up all these guys. And there was a guy sitting next to him. I didn't know who it was. He had on a suit. Do you remember this? He was right next to MJ, or right next to Rodman, and MJ went dapping up. He was looking at MJ like a kid looking for an autograph. I don't know who that was. I'm assuming he was on the team, maybe hurt or whatever. I think a lot of his teammates kind of felt like that with Jordan. Not that they were in all the time and they felt like fans, but they felt like he was out of reach and he didn't really want to talk to them.
And if he didn't come down to you, you weren't going to be able to get up to him. You didn't want to overstep
or it almost felt like, especially early on, I'm sure that's why Jordan and Pippen have that bond, because it was before Jordan was Jordan. But later on, if you just joined that team, I don't think Jordan wanted much to do with you except for practice. Remember, he had to ask for Steve Kerr's number
right
after they got a fight because he didn't have it.
One other thing before we go to our next break, one other thing I want to bring up, because it goes to Desmond's point. The way this was all set up, I know there's some general criticism of maybe how selectively positive the coverage was of Jordan. This is not an ESPN thing. This is not a hero worship thing now. This is not something that the documentary director and everybody else, this is not something that they did. Although Michael Jordan had a lot of veto power in terms of how the footage was used. This goes back to Adam Silver. In 1998, Adam Silver and the people whose idea this was to put this camera crew in gave Michael specifically the rights to say when this footage could be used. So it is not a shock to me at all that as they're doing a documentary and using heavily this footage, relying heavily on this footage that Michael Jordan has to sign off on using, that a lot of the way the thing's portrayed is favorable to Michael Jordan. Otherwise, this footage isn't getting in if Jordan doesn't have the ability to sign off. That's kind of how I feel about this. Like, I get it that it's not the most accurate portrayal and it's a little bit skewed toward him. Kelly, am I being a little too passive on this? I feel like we're not getting this documentary without Michael being portrayed positively because he's got to sign off. And honestly, he was portrayed negatively in some lights more so than he maybe could have been.
Yes,
if he had really
more than ever
and,
before.
And wanted it. So, I don't think we can have our cake and eat it too on this, though, and say, why didn't they talk about the womanizing? Why didn't they talk more about the family life? Why didn't they talk about that? And I get it, Desmond. I kind of would have wanted that, too.
Sure, sure.
But we were never going to get that because of an agreement that was set up more than two decades ago and the circumstances under which Jordan allowed the footage to be released and used for the first time.
Because Michael Jordan is so powerful and so in charge of his own image, you're only going to get as much as he's willing to give you. That's the bottom line. And I'm willing to take whatever he's willing to give us because we still got to learn a lot more and see him in a different light than we had ever been able to before.
Absolutely. Let's go to break and we come back. More on that Pacers series, including was the jump ball with 6 minutes left really the hinge point of the whole series? I saw some pushback on this. I'll ask Kelly that question on the other side next.
It's time for another Solid Orange Clemson Classic replay this Saturday at 10 a.m. Relive the second national championship of the Dabo Swinney era as the Tigers and the Crimson Tide face off in the championship game of the 2019 College Football Playoff. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union, Hartwell Village Shopping Center, Burton Properties, Granger Nissan, Priority Run, Krispy Kreme, and Toyota of Easley. 44-16, the Tigers and the Tide. This Clemson Classic game replay Saturday at 10 a.m. on The Roar.
Up next, it's Don Munson with your daily Tiger update, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union on the Clemson Tigers Network.
Relax, Clemson students, faculty, staff, and IPTE members. You can join Founders Federal Credit Union with convenient services like the Founders app with mobile deposit, Founders online, and online applications. You can spend less time in our office and more time cheering on your Clemson Tigers. For product information, visit foundersfcu.com. Not a Founders member? Visit relaxjoinfounders.com to see if you qualify for membership. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA and a proud partner of Clemson Athletics.
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to the show. You know, over the history of Clemson football, there have been some pretty good football coaches. You can talk about Heisman, Neely, Howard, Pell, Ford, and, of course, Sweeney in today's era. But let me take it back to 1898. The third coach ever at Clemson was a guy by the name of John Penton. He had a pretty good pedigree. He played at the University of Virginia. He played in 1893, 1894, and 1895. That 1895 team, he was the captain of. And they beat North Carolina to win the championship of the South, which back in those days was a pretty good thing. But his playing days weren't through. In 1897, he actually played at Auburn under the coaching of John Heisman, as he was a fullback that year at Auburn. Now, when he came to Clemson in 1898, he took over a team that had been coached by W.M. Williams, but he won 55-0 in his first game. That was against Bingham, and led the squad to a 3-1 record that year, and they won the state championship in 1898. So John Penton, in 1 year, made quite an impression on Clemson football. And our report brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union, the official credit union of the Clemson Tigers. Relax with Founders Federal Credit Union. Have you searched all over for your family's vehicle and can't find it on the lot? With the largest selection of Nissans in the upstate, Granger Nissan of Anderson is sure to have what you need in stock and ready to drive off the lot today. Proudly serving the upstate, Granger Nissan of Anderson is a proud partner of the Clemson Tigers and home with a lifetime powertrain warranty on all new vehicles. Conveniently located at 3510 Clemson Boulevard in Anderson and only 25 miles from Greenville, and online at GrangerNissanOfAnderson.com.
You've heard talk about Harbin Lumber's strong customer service and elite customer support. They know that time is make or break for you contractors and handymen. Harbin Lumber will walk you through the project from start to finish, providing your order in full and on time. Harbin Lumber will partner with you and find solutions that will not create costly issues and problems later. Call today at 353-5053. That's 353-5053. Harbin Lumber Company. All they need is an opportunity. They will earn the rest.
It's not too early to start thinking about new porch, patio, or pool furniture from the Craft Stove Storm Patio. America's best outdoor furniture by Lloyd Flanders, Hanamet, Summer Classics, Resesta Recycled Plastic, and Palm Springs Rattan. You can place special orders now and have your furniture delivered in time for the warm weather that will be coming. Special preseason prices on all in-stock patio furniture at the Craft Stove Storm Patio, 3002 Wade Hampton Boulevard in Taylor's.
Craft Stove Storm and Patio.
More live local sports than cars on Clemson Boulevard. You're listening to The Roar.
Hour two continues out of bounds. William Quagmire, Kelly Gramlich talking more about The Last Dance and specifically about Michael Jordan's portrayal. We'll get back into the Pacers series a little bit before I want to just...
How many times did you want to punch a baby?
A lot. Actually, you know what? It wasn't as constant. And so I figured they'd be showing clips constantly
of the Pacers?
Jordan beating the Pacers.
Why?
Because it happened.
Why
because
did
they
you
had
think
some,
that?
Because they had battles.
Quark, they played
because
once
they
in
had
the playoffs.
Battles.
Once.
Kelly, you keep saying that like they never played. I told you in 96.
This was
they were
not
the,
about the regular
the
season.
They were the nemesis. But they did show regular
if,
season
Quark,
clips.
If there's one thing this documentary should have taught you, it don't mean a thing without the ring. It was all about the postseason. And that's what I try to tell you in all of our arguments for all of time about Hall of Fame and all this stuff.
Well, you know
it's
what?
It's about the postseason.
You know what? Karl Malone was a bum because he never won any rings.
No, he's not a bum, but he never won
John
a ring.
John Stockton, bum. Reggie Miller, bum. Patrick Ewing, bum. They're all bums because they scored a bunch of points in the regular season, but they couldn't win any rings.
I'm not calling them bums.
That's
but
silliness. That's
that is part
silliness.
Of their legacy. It totally. Does matter.
That is Ross Geller.
Hey, Karl Malone.
Silliness.
Realize that MJ is coming to double you, bruh.
Oh, for crying
what are
out
you
loud.
Doing?
The guy's the MVP of the league.
You have to know where Michael Jordan
where
is at all times.
Backside. Come
no,
on. Give
you
me
have,
a break.
Quack.
Give me a
if
break.
If you catch the ball on the block, you have to, out the corner of your eye, you have to see, okay, has Michael Jordan rotated? You have to, even if it's not Michael Jordan, you have to notice if that defender who's supposed to be in help side is not there. Where is he? Oh, I don't know. He's coming to take the ball from me.
Listen, I'm not disagreeing with you, but I think the divide between Karl Malone being an actual Hall of Famer versus a Hall of Famer with an asterisk because he didn't want to ring because Jordan snuck up behind him that one time and took the ball is silliness.
Quack, Texter
silliness.
Gets in and says, hey, all those people you named at least played for an NBA championship. Oh, that's right, except Reggie.
Well, all those other ones, Ewing did it, sure. Ewing did it in the year that Jordan didn't play.
Wait, didn't the Pacers? The Pacers did make the finals.
They did make the finals.
Yeah, that's not
so
even
shut
true.
Up, Texter.
2000, right?
You shut your mouth right now. They played the Lakers in 2000.
Yeah, and there's no shame losing to the Lakers. Texter, I liked your first text, but that one, you got to do your research.
Shut your mouth right now. Anyway, I was kind of weirded out that they were up by three with like 6 minutes left. And Reggie and Jalen Rose are both like, oh, we win that jump ball, it's game over.
Yeah, that was
like,
weird. Because
what are y'all talking about?
There was so much time left.
But here's the thing we have to realize about these games. Not only were these games really low scoring compared to today.
54 points in a finals game.
We're going to get to that one, Kelly.
Oh,
we are going to get to that.
Oh, my gosh.
Here's the crazy part about this. Both those teams played slow. The Bulls were like bottom third of the league that year, I think, in pace. The Pacers were probably about average. But average then and average now, way different. Amount of three-point attempts then and now, way different. The scoring per possession, way up. To the point that when I was comparing the 16 Warriors and the 16-17 Warriors and 95-96 Bulls, you don't have to actually possession adjust the Warriors because they had 100 possessions a game, basically. The Bulls, their scoring margin, I mean. The Bulls, you have to adjust because they had like 90 possessions a game.
Mm.
So 77-74 was the score, like 6 minutes left. Let's say that Reggie and Jalen are correct. I assume they're going to make it two. So it's 79-74. You know how many points the Bulls needed to win that game? 84. They weren't that far off. Like, it seems weird now with 6 minutes. Oh, there's enough time for them to score 30 points. The way they played the game then, a five-point lead, particularly with the fans sitting on their hands, a five-point lead, if you only need, like, three good possessions, if you get to 85 points, you got to feel reasonably good about winning the game if the Patriots are able to get that ball and score instead of Kerr hits the three and ties the game.
Sure,
so you're talking about
that.
A five-point swing there. I don't think it's the craziest thing. It's crazier in our era because you can make up 5 points in like 10 seconds now. It's nothing. But then it obviously was more difficult because if not, the Bulls would have because think about the way that Jalen and Reggie talked about that, where they're like, yeah, after that, it was like we were a JV team that had no chance. And so you're expecting the Bulls to win like 100-82. And the Bulls only scored 11 points the whole rest of the game. And they were like, God, we were the worst that whole rest of the game. We couldn't do anything. They gave up 11 points in the last 6 minutes of the game.
It was a different time and a different style of basketball.
It was a totally different time.
For sure.
And then I did write down there were 10 curse words. 40% of that were, as you pointed out, Indiana Karen.
Indiana Karen.
F-bombed and GD'd the refs. like you wouldn't believe. Indiana Karen. They Dan Dockage found who it is, and it's somebody who like owns a car dealership in Fishers, Indiana.
Really?
Yeah, like owns it. Like their dad owned them, and now she owns them, and so that's why she was sitting close because you know her family's
got
money.
She was passionate, Quack.
But it was quite a passionate thing. Any other thoughts on number seven, or I guess the 97 finals and number nine is what I'm looking at right here.
The Reggie stuff was highly entertaining. We haven't addressed the fact that the it's not the greeting, the goodbye between Michael Jordan and Larry Bird at the end of the episode.
That was savage. That was savage.
We can't repeat any of that.
What did he say? UBFU?
UBFU. And, of course, Michael Jordan or Larry Bird said something. I don't know what Larry Bird said. So, I don't know. It was not profane. And then Michael Jordan said, work on that golf game.
Yeah. Now you can really work on that golf game.
For a second, I thought that Larry Bird said UBFU.
I did too.
I couldn't really tell who said it.
I did too at first.
And I wouldn't be shocked if Larry Bird said that.
Because we didn't really understand what Larry said.
But
he mumbled
when in doubt,
in there.
It doesn't really make sense. Michael, you just beat him. And you're saying that?
Right.
Why? You won.
So then, after nine, when I cried for a little bit and then came back to it.
Poor Quack.
We get to episode 10. There were 21 curse words in episode 10. Dennis Rodman, other than Indiana Karen, Dennis Rodman in this episode had the most curse words per capita.
Of course.
I think he cursed 4 out of 12 words one time when they put him on camera. He said he threw some F-bombs around like he was saying the words a, an, and the right. in like a two-sentence span. And so I was like, I was trying frantically to keep up with how many times they would have had to bleep. They would have bleeped out his whole daggone sentence.
Did you remember any of that about Rodman leaving during the finals to go wrestle? I didn't remember. Was it the finals?
No. Yeah, it was finals between game three and game four in the finals.
I didn't.
In 98?
I feel like that part either has never been told to me or people have just said it in passing because it's Dennis Rodman. He does whatever he wants.
You know what's crazy about that, too? We would have, again, this is something that maybe he needed it. We would have never let him get away with it today. Ever. If you look at, let's say the game log from that game, Dennis Rodman was pretty good in game four. He was pretty good. In fact, that was his best game probably in at least the last two rounds of that 98 playoffs. He was not very good against the Pacers. If you look at game by game, his game score and his stats, I think he had double-digit rebounds like twice, but was like he would get in foul trouble. It just wasn't real good. But man, oh man, I think it was probably the best game of the playoffs because everyone thought he was going to be terrible.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of just let him. They kind of just let him go.
And
somehow it worked.
The media relations guy said, "All right, we've got to find a way to get Dennis out of here because 300 media members want to talk to him." And they snuck him out of the back, and he ran up the stairs, and people are chasing him. And then I assume he was in that big truck. Which makes sense. I could see Dennis driving that big pickup truck with the big, you know, all the wheels are jacked up on the wheels and everything.
Here's Rodman's stat line from game four. He played 29 and a half minutes. He took three whole shots.
That's the thing. Do you need to practice if your entire job is hustling and rebounding?
He was 6 of 8 from the line, which he didn't have many games like that. He was not a very good foul shooter. He had 6 points, 14 rebounds, 2 assists, no turnovers, 3 fouls. It was his best game since the Charlotte series, that second series, like by far.
Maybe Dennis was right. He just had to blow off steam.
He had one game against the Pacers. They lost. I think it was game 6 against the Pacers where he had 6 points, 12 boards. He had 4 points, 16 boards one game, but also turned it over a bunch. And he fouled out of another game where he had 6 points and 12 boards. But wasn't super accurate anywhere, so I kind of think that was his best game of the finals. They get to episode 10, okay, and they I love this quote. It was sort of at the beginning. Why would I think about missing a shot I haven't taken yet? Super quote. I wrote that down. I might frame that. Such a good quote.
Who was that from?
That was from Jordan. He said it when they were doing like the shoot, he hit the shot from the wing that nobody could hit in practice. You remember that?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He might not even been on camera then, but that was his.
That is such a good quote.
Really good. I had forgotten this. So they didn't beat the Jazz in the regular season. So that's why Utah got home court.
Yes.
And that also dated back to a game that we saw in episode 4 where the Bulls blew like a 23-point lead. And lost to Utah. You remember this game?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If they had held that lead, they would have had home court. It was that close.
And then they would have, they would have had game 6 and 7 in Chicago.
That's right. Now, I also wrote down 96-54, game 3. Kelly, I looked this up. There have been 3 times in NBA history when a player has scored more than 54 points in an NBA Finals. A player, an individual player. No team scored less than 54. The number one, do you know this?
The players that have scored more than 54 in an NBA Finals
more
game?
More than 54 in an NBA Finals game.
LeBron?
It's happened 3 times. LeBron is not. He dropped 51 in 18 against Cleveland.
Okay.
That's his best one. One is very obvious, and you should just say his name right now.
Steph.
No.
Oh,
no.
Oh, Michael Jordan.
47. Michael Jordan is
okay,
one.
Okay, Michael
55,
Jordan.
55 on June 16, 93.
Okay, Michael Jordan did it. Did Larry Bird do it?
Bird never did it. Bird's not even in the top 10 here. Larry never scored more than in a finals game. He's actually way down the list. He might not have ever dropped 40 in a finals game. I'll be honest. I would have never got one of these. I was like, oh. The other, but I would have never guessed it. The other one I really would not have gotten.
What about Hakeem Olajuwon?
Hakeem, let me see. He never did it. I'm not even sure he scored 40 in a final.
All right, tell me who.
No, he didn't score 40 in a final. The other 55 is Rick Barry.
Really?
From the San Francisco Warriors in 1967. True story.
Did he get some of those from the free throw line?
I might have. Little Grady time. 61, the all-time leader in points in an NBA Finals game, Elgin Baylor.
Ah, Elgin
1962.
Baylor. 1962. Who people forget about. Yes, Elgin Baylor.
I just wanted to look this up because I thought it was interesting that the Utah Jazz as a team could not outscore three individual performances in the history of the NBA Finals.
54 points in an NBA Finals game is unbelievable.
That's remarkably bad.
That's
and what's
so
weird
bad.
Is that's the time when Robin was like, whew, I need a break. I got to jet off.
Well, because he had
like,
put all that work in on the defensive
that's
end.
That's the time. Oh, man. You know, we've got to continue to talk about this, including the way it ended. I've got some interesting stuff about Jordan and LeBron we got to get to. The Bulls rebuild that's apparently – I'm going to – we may disagree on whether this is still ongoing or not. I feel like they had a mini breakthrough, and we need to give them credit for that at one point with the Joakim Noah team and Derrick Rose. We'll talk about that and much more in Hour 3.
Broadcasting live from the Priority One Security Studios, WCCP 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT, 1560 Cowpens, 97.5 Spartanburg, the upstate's number one choice for sports. We are the Roar.
For the past 2 months, our homes have been, well, lived in more than ever before. Kitchens have become science labs, sofas have become jungle gyms, and carpet has become the official canvas of the quarantine. Restore your home to its original glory with the help of Zero Res Carpet and Air Duct Cleaning. Right now, get 3 rooms of carpet cleaned for only $129, plus a complimentary cleaning and disinfecting of common touch surfaces. Call 864-558-7300 or schedule for your cleaning online at ZeroResGreenville.com.
Now is the time to get your porch, patio, or pool furniture from the Craft Stove Store and Patio. America's best outdoor furniture by Lloyd Flanders, Hanamint, Summer Classics, Brizesta Recycled Plastic, and Palm Springs Rattan. Take advantage of special seasonal prices on all in-stock patio furniture at the Craft Stove Store and Patio. Delivery and setup is always available at the Craft Stove Store and Patio. 3002 Wade Hampton Boulevard in Greenville.
Craft Stove Store and Patio.
Roosters Men's Grooming Center believes a man deserves a space of his own when it comes to grooming. Roosters offers the charm and comfort of a classic American barbershop, but updated to accommodate the 21st century man. Our professional stylists and barbers will make sure you receive the customized barbershop experience through classic haircuts, shaves, and products that reaffirm what it means to look and feel great. Roosters at the Plaza on Pelham. Book your appointment today at 884-8920.
When you're looking for a new heating or air conditioning system, consider Upstate Service Solutions. They're currently offering a $500 Visa card with the purchase of an American Standard heating and air conditioning system. Subject to credit approval, there's a special financing offer through Wells Fargo. See dealer for details. Upstate Service Solutions, an independent American Standard dealer. Call 423-3606. That's 423-3606. Offer good through May 30th.
Granger Nissan of Anderson is not only the home with a lifetime warranty, but the winner of the 2017 and 2018 Nissan Award of Excellence. Granger Nissan is here to serve the upstate with excellent service and competitive pricing. With the largest selection of Nissans in the upstate, Granger Nissan is sure to have what you need in stock and ready to drive off the lot today. Granger Nissan of Anderson at 3510 Clemson Boulevard, only 25 miles from Greenville, and always online at GrangerNissanOfAnderson.com.
Fridge had enough after the extra action in the house these last several weeks? Now you have an excuse to get the new one you've been wanting. Lowe's can help with up to 40% off select appliances during our appliance savings event, including an LG InstaView side-by-side refrigerator for $12.99. With a generous amount of space, you'll have even more room to store your family's favorites. Get it fast by ordering at Lowe's.com or via our app. Best part, we're offering 12-month special financing and free delivery. Offers valid through 6-3. Free local delivery and credit applies to appliances $2.99 or more. Subject to credit approval, exclusions apply, U.S. only.
Looking to purchase or refinance your home? Look no further. First Home Equity Loans in Greenville is veteran-owned and locally operated, in business for 23 years. Named best mortgage company in the upstate, offering free mortgage analysis to customize loans to each individual, competitive rates, and first-class service. Call First Home Equity Loans today at 864-438-4550. That's 864-438-4550. Or visit them online at mortgageloan.com.
Covering our bases on three great signals, 105.5, 97.5.